This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 5th of June, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. That song we opened up today with is Deep Space or Into Space by KB. I love that song. I don't know what album it's on, so I could buy the album so I could have it. It's my favorite song ever, but more importantly, it is the closest thing I could find to a Bahamian version of Fly Me to the Moon, the jazz standard Fly Me to the Moon. And on that note, did you see the moon on Saturday evening? Did you see the moon as it was coming to its fullness, hanging low in the sky, like it promised it would never let BPL down and always leave the Bahamian people with light in the dark? It's such a beautiful, beautiful moon on Saturday. I hope people had a moment to step out and enjoy it. It was wonderful. The weekend was filled with wonderful activities and, unfortunately, filled with unfortunate events. Before we get into today's news, we're talking Labor Day parade, we're talking crime beat, we're talking traffic fatalities and enforcement, and we're talking the budget. But before we get there, I've got some Sand Dollar news and I've got some Sand Dollar giveaways. This Thursday and Friday, June the 8th and 9th, Central Bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value in the Golden Gate Shopping Plaza. Show your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. That's 302-9880. And now to our Sand Dollar giveaways. Every day for the next 4 months, we will be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30 in Sand Dollars. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet enabled and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, your digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address to transfer the funds to your digital wallet if you get the right answer. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. That means you can only win once, but when you win big, 30 Sand Dollars. And so I'm going to give out the first question. I'm going to give out the first question for the day. Who coined the motto, Expulsis Piratis Restuta Commercia? Expulsis Piratis Restuta Commercia. The numbers to call are 323-6232. I'm so sorry. I think I read that backwards. It's 323-6232. That's 323-6232. 325-4316. That's 325-4316. 325-4259, 325-4259. And for people in the Bahamas but not in New Providence, toll-free number, make a free call, 242-300-5720. That's 242-300-5720. This is a call-in competition today. It is a call-in-only competition today. To contribute to the general discussion, you can message us on our Guardian Radio text line, powered by BTC. That's 422-GR96, 422-4796. Again, the question, first question for the day, who coined the motto, Expulsus Piratus Restuta Commercia? First question of the day. All right, let's get into today's show. I want to talk quickly. I have two segments. I want a first half and a second half. The Labor Day Parade. I was out there. It was impressive to see people come out in the rain, you know, under heavy weather warning forecasts. People still came out and marched. On that note, I want to say good morning to all of those who supported the Hannah Hastie Tynes Family Association souse out on Labor Day at Arawaki as well. We want to say thank you very much for supporting that. So I want to ask you, what did you see at Labor Day Parade? What was impressive? What was impressive about the parade? What was not impressive? What did you see that you think is worthy of mention? I saw a lot of things while I was out at Arawaki on Labor Day for the Randall Fox Labor Day Parade. I'm going to tell you right away what I saw. I saw the Hebrew Israelites and I saw the Coalition of Independence. And even though the Coalition of Independence event was at 6 p.m., right, in later in the day, not I wasn't there for the event, I could already see them out there. There was a small exchange about who had ownership of which booths at what time. Producer, you took the call? Are they ready to connect? They're not for the competition? All right, thank you, producer. No problem. So, saw the Hebrew Israelites out there, and I could see their presence, the COI, out there, and then I saw the videos of the event that the COI had out there. I want to use this word. The word is impressive. Both of these organizations, I think, had an impressive presence on the march and on Labor Day at all. And I think it's something worthy of examination. In fact, I think it requires urgent focus, examination, and engagement. Now, as a queer woman, I will say that some of the ideals of the Hebrew Israelites are concerning to me and make me question where I would be located in my own community or country if their theological position was entrenched in policy, right? I'm very concerned about that. But at the same time, what I can recognize is that they had an impressive showing at the event. And a part of what was impressive about their showing was the level of discipline that they evoked from their members on the parade. The focus to the message and the purpose of the day. It suggests to me that our issue with discipline does not sit with the young people. It appears to me as if the young people are crying out for discipline. And it is us older generations of Bahamians that have fallen down on the job. One moment, producer. Is that person, do they have a wallet? Okay, I'm waiting for my producer to come in with me. Do they have a wallet? Well, let's get them going. If they're playing, we got to hurry up and get the information through. If they don't know what their wallet information is, they're going to have to call back. I got another caller on the line. I want to say thank you guys for calling in and playing the game. I think the political class are not paying attention. These young people, especially the young men we saw, the Hebrew Israelites, they're looking for systems and communities that are larger than themselves to connect with and become a part of and make something of their lives. We're going to stick a pin there. I see we got a caller ready to participate in the game. Good morning, caller. Let me repeat the question. Who coined the motto, Expulsus Paratus Restuta Commercia?
So what, Rogers?
Would you say repeat exactly what you said again?
So Woods Rogers, first royal governor.
You said Sir Woods Rogers?
Yes.
Okay. I just was getting that part. You're correct. Woods Rogers is the correct answer. I wasn't going to put that there, but then I remember that this 2023 wasn't the first time that we turned pirates into privateers and buccaneers. I want to thank you so much, caller. Now, you gave the producer your name, your cell phone number, your wallet provider, and your address, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for playing the game.
Okay, and you're welcome.
Your funds will be transferred to you immediately at the end of the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you as well. All right. Thank you, producer. Producer? All right. I think I dropped a call. I hope everything is okay. All right. So let's get back to this conversation. See, in the crime beat, what we see is that violent crime and serious crime are on the rise. Apparently, there's a difference between violent crime and serious crime, but they're on the rise. This weekend, the police reported that a man was beaten to death by unknown assailants. We know that there were multiple gun and gang-related homicides over the last few weeks, and rape and other forms of sexual violence against women and girls are also on the rise, right? But then we see when we go and look, we say, oh, these young people are out of control. The gang violence is out of control. These young men and women don't know how to resolve conflict. They don't know how to create and manage healthy relationships. These young people are causing all of these problems. But I will argue to you that the display by the Hebrew Israelites in the COI suggests that young people and people look like they are in chaos because they have no systems to plug into, to adhere to, like adhesive, to adhere to become a part of, and to use to grow their lives, to chart their course. I know that the political class is not paying attention. They're not watching. And I'm going to tell you how I know. Yesterday, I was reminded that there are 36 days yesterday, so today marks, we have 35 days left before the 50th Independence celebration, 50th Independence. And on the 36th day before this grand, grand celebration, the Independence Secretariat told me that I could, a recommendation, a suggestion, in case I didn't know how to celebrate independence, that to celebrate the 50th independence, that I could and I should go take a dip in the ocean. That's what they told me I should do. So I want to talk about it. How am I going to get to the ocean? Dear Liza, I live in an archipelago, perhaps the largest archipelago in the region. Yet there's a focus, both fiscally, like commerce, business-wise, government-wise, socially, psychologically, the focus is on cars, importing cars and putting fuel in them, importing cars and putting fuel in them. To drive on an island that's 21/7, or worse, to go to an island that needs more than a car, but I can't afford to maintain a vehicle on the island. And the government doesn't seem to care to maintain the roads on the island either. But that's what you have me focusing on. When I could be in a boat, I could be growing trees, I could be maintaining forests to build boats to move easily through the islands in my own country. But you're telling me I should go take a dip in the ocean. And I'm going to ask you, dear Liza, well, how will I get there? Dear Liza, How will I get to the shores of my own island in my own country when it is littered with chain link fences popped up and propped up by tourism in the hotel industry? How shall I do it, dear Liza? Dear Liza, how shall I do it? How am I going to go and take a dip in the ocean? Is public transportation running to the beaches regularly? So that I and my 12 children and nieces and cousins and family members could get on the bus and get to a public beach? Do you have bathrooms open on the beach? Are they functioning? Do they have toilet paper in them? Are you paying the staff sufficient so they're not asking people as they enter if they could, quote unquote, buy them lunch? Are you paying them enough? Do you have sufficient garbage bins on the beach so when I go out to enjoy a day on the beach, you don't accuse me of being a nasty, uncouth animal? Because the powers that be didn't realize the capacity, the space they needed to accommodate the number of people that move through a public beach, or to have security cameras up that are monitored to determine who are the outsiders that are coming in and quote-unquote illegally dumping and frustrating the policies of beaches and parks. I can pause right there, because you're all not paying attention. But I tell you who is paying attention, these young people. They are paying attention to anyone who is willing to create a space for them. It ain't the young people. It's undisciplined. It's us. It's us old heads. It's us who are in charge. You don't want to do it the right way. You don't want to change the policy so that it's more effective. You rather hook up around the corner. Under the table. It's us. We lack the discipline. And that moves me to my next point before we move into the budget. I've asked Mr. Nuri to come and join me to talk about a bit about the budget this morning and get a sense of how to tackle a conversation as large as the budget. I want to talk about traffic fatalities and enforcement. Again, I think the government is not paying attention. During the first 5 months of 2021, I'm reading from an article in The Guardian, warning issued as traffic deaths rise. I think it's the 31st of May. During the first 5 months of 2021, the number of traffic fatalities was 13. In 2022, the number rose to 19. So far for 2023, the number of fatalities stand at 22. The number stands at 22. A large percentage of drivers are out of control, and the RBPF are nowhere to be found. Let me pause right there. The Guardian article excerpt stops at the number 22. These words are mine. A large percentage of drivers are out of control, and the RBPF are nowhere to be found. At this point, I don't think they even have the capacity. You know me? I don't think they have the capacity to enforce the laws, particularly left on red. I don't think it's within them anymore. I think it's lost. I think the only one who could save us now is Captain Insurance Agency. Captain Insurance. The insurance industry is the only people who can save us now. And I plea, I beg for them to step up and enter the chat and begin to talk with the Royal Bahamas Police Force, Ministry of National Security, the AG's office, OPM, Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development, to talk about how we're going to take back control of our streets. I don't mean from the gangs and the gangsters. I mean from those gangsters behind the wheel, on the road, in their phones, having cell phone calls, swerving across lanes, ignoring stop signs, traffic lights, turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street. I'm going to say it again. Nobody ever even suggested that you could turn right on red anywhere in the Bahamas, ever. But repeatedly, over and over again, taxi drivers, livery drivers, tour drivers, commercial vehicles, delivery companies, big, decent companies, struck him. I'm going to tell you what happened in 1986. That's one of your cards, right? I'm going to tell you all what happened in 1986. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Graham. How you doing?
Got to weigh in on this one today. I'm always feeling great, but thanks for asking.
Pause, Graham. Pause. I don't want you to weigh in on this one today. I'm going to tell you why. Because I have refrained from talking about the way you drive your scooter on the road in the public airwaves. I have refrained from doing it.
But please, let's have that discussion as well.
You drive bad, Graham.
You perpetuate bad
driving culture.
The scooter remains in the left lane, but in the on the right side of my left lane. You would say I'm in the center of the road, but not true. I'm on the right side of my left lane. But turning left on a red, right, you're correct. Right should be illegal. But
it is illegal.
Of course. But left, like in Miami, you can turn right, alleviates traffic and sitting in traffic wasting gas. If you come to a complete stop without your cell phone and you look right and there's nothing coming, a lot of criteria involved and responsibility with turning left on red.
Graham, you know how many seconds you're supposed to pause once you stop at the thick white line at the intersection? You know how many seconds you're supposed to stop your car for before you move forward?
They've not posted a sign, so I can't be sure.
3 seconds. That's in the manual. You're supposed to come to a complete stop.
Stop.
You know, when you come to a stop and then you hear the tires relax and say, oh, Jesus. And then you count three and then you drive off if the way is clear.
Well, in the interest of time, we need, and I want you to repeat after me, a highway patrol 24 hours a day because we are the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And a highway patrol would do what you are asking be done. They would check for brake lights. They would check to see if the tire bald, and you could see all the metal in the tire. Because if you're doing 80 on the highway on a bald tire with the metal and it blow out, you dead and plenty other people, unfortunately. So we need a highway patrol. You know, if you're pulling your car with a rope, that's illegal, according to the law. We have enough laws. We just need some enforcement, and a highway patrol would do this. And listen, they would be stationed every morning on every traffic light.
Yes, sir.
Just like in Miami on a motorcycle. It doesn't need to be a big, powerful motorcycle because it could be a scooter because they have walkie-talkie that could alert the police at the next stop.
Yep, there you go.
And this is the easiest thing to fix. And guess what? You just doubled the police force.
There you go.
You need another 3,000 people for this highway patrol. How are we going to pay for this, Aaron?
Taxes.
Yeah.
I got to go.
No.
Yes.
Ticket.
Enforcement.
Ticket.
Traffic enforcement will pay for
not
itself.
Not taxes. So tickets, not taxes.
Why, thank you, Graham.
Yes, have a good one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much. Mr. Nuri, do you know what a dual carriage, one of the purposes of a dual carriageway is? No. To allow traffic to flow smoothly, right? So there's like a almost like a slow lane and a fast lane. And so if you are in the right lane and you notice that you're making the same speed as all of the cars in the left lane, you should get into the left lane, especially if you see people who are moving faster than you and you get over and you let them go past because you move in the same pace as the people in the left lane. Why you got to be in your own lane? I mean, I know why, because it's because you all think you're special because you've been caught up in a culture of hyper-individualism. We're going to get back to that. Thank you very much, Graham. Here's what we're going to do. Let's read the second question for the day, and we're going to go to a break if we don't get an answer in a couple of 2 minutes. And when we get back from the break, we're going to start talking about the budget. Saw some interesting things so far, and then I want to talk to you about how would we plan out a show and what are the topics that you think we should delve into, and want the audience members to tell us what topics they think we should delve into in terms of the budget. So here is the second Sand Dollar giveaway question for the day. What flower is featured on the 15-cent coin? What flower is featured on the Bahamian 15-cent coin? Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, toll free for people not in New Providence, but in the Bahamas. What flower is on the 15-cent coin? Mr. Newry, to the budget. What did you think about the budget presentation? I don't know if I could hear you.
You can't hear me?
Producer, 1 second. Speak again.
Testing.
There
okay,
we go.
Okay,
there we
now.
Go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was saying that I'm not sure if one should be emotive when speaking about a budget or planned or actual figures. Uh-huh. I think one just must respond to it, right? What is good to you? What is bad to you? What is something that you do not understand that needs to be clarified more?
Mm-hmm.
So the issue is not how I feel about the budget, but the issue is what I liked about it or I disliked about it. Mind you, I am interested in this money in exchange for forestry. I have the right quote. For nature.
Oh, that's...
Because I want to know what does that mean?
Let me repeat the quote.
Who will we be getting the money from and what will we be exchanging for it? So that is something I think that the Bahamian people should ask about and hash out and tell the government, no, I'm not happy with this. Or yes, that's a good thing for us.
All right, producer, how are we going with that call? They have all the right information? Dear callers, I need you to speed it up. There's just four pieces of information you need to give my producer. Your name, your cell phone number, your wallet provider, and your wallet address. It's very quick. I've got three other callers on the line, producer. Can you send one of those calls forward for me? So, Mr. Newry, that quote right there, a debt for nature swap. I almost wanted to do my whole show on that.
And mind you, I think that in the future, we need to have an entire show for that as we try to understand exactly what does that mean. When you say debt, that means that we owe someone money.
Yeah.
So definitely we would be dealing with either countries or I guess countries or multinationals that we have credit with.
Yeah.
And owe money too. And they say exchange for forestry. I'm not sure if we're going to give Bahamians sovereign land out. So I'm assuming that we're talking about like the blue economy and our forestry and in terms of value and exchanging a value perhaps of protecting our environment. And that is what we, like credits, carbon credits, exchanging carbon credits. But I do not understand it. I think it needs to be fleshed out and explained to the Bahamian people. I think it went over our heads in terms of what exactly does it mean. And I think that warrants an entire show. What does it mean? Debt to... Say it again. Debt what?
I pause because these words right here I'm about to repeat.
Go ahead.
These may be the words that sink the PLP administration.
You believe you have powerful words like that?
No, these are the Prime Minister's words. They ain't my words.
Go ahead.
Can't afford words as powerful as this.
Go ahead.
Quote, a debt for nature swap. Close quotes.
So I now ask you, what does that mean?
You gonna pay off our debt with nature, with our nature, which is problematic for me because everybody in the world, including that astronaut, says the Bahamas is the most beautiful place on the planet. And I know, he say, I know, I in space, I see it all. And I wondering, first of all, how can you swap nature for debt? First of all, how do you do it? You don't own the nature. And in such a heavily Christian-laden place, I sure y'all keep telling me that these are all God's things. God created these. How are you going to swap God's nature for debt? That's...
And I believe that how you interpret it is more likely wrong.
Right? You sure?
I don't think it's a physical space.
Let's talk about it. The carbon that we're trading, right? We sequester carbon. We trap carbon in the seabeds. And let's start winding down for a break, producer. We trap carbon in the seabeds, right? And because we trap a certain amount of carbon, we get to trade, right? A certain amount of carbon that's trapped equals a credit. And because we trap 10 tons of carbon, we get 10 carbon credits.
And I hear that. And then there's the dollarization or dollar value of that. Who gives value to that trapping of carbon?
And who
or this nature?
And who extracts the value? And who benefits from the value? And then we get to the producer. Is this call ready to come through? Yeah, but turn it red, baby. Turn it red. Who extracts the value? Who benefits from the value? And then we go to the other side, which we'll get to after the break. Who created the debt?
I think we created the debt. It is our debt.
I don't. I wasn't in the store with you. It wasn't me. Let me go to this caller, and then we're going to go to a break and it up on the other side. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
Answered to your question about what flowers on a 15th standpoint, would that be the hibiscus?
Yes, it is. It is the hibiscus. Now, you gave the producer your name, your number, your wallet provider, and your wallet address?
Yes, I did.
All four things. Great stuff. Thank you very much, producer. You confirmed you have all that information for me. Great stuff. Thank you very much for calling. You want to say anything before you go?
No, I stay tuned and listen about this carbon credit conversation because that's very interesting.
Yes, a debt for nature. I wish somebody would let me swap my debt for nature because I know where plenty nature is. I could work this out. Thank you very much. Call is the second caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock. All right, there we go. Producer, take us to a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to interrogate some more things. I've got some more questions to throw on the table about this budget. Is NIB going to be included in the budget? Isn't a fee a tax? And a tax a fee? Do I have to pay the same taxes and fees as foreigners to leave my country and for other services? And how come immigration fees don't have to go into the consolidated fund, but everything else does? When we get back from the break, guys, you're on the clock with Aaron Green, CA Newry, sitting in with me. We will be right back.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny. The Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grandbahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
After a hurricane or storm, get the Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide. The guide will tell you where to purchase building and cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, which auto shop to go to after driving through flooded streets, and much more. The Nassau Guardian's Hurricane Guide will help to make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches and after it departs. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 radio commercials. Contact us today, 302-2300. 302-2300, or call your account executive. Will you be prepared?
It's that time again!
Sign up now for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, taking place July 24 to the 30th at the Hope Center and the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Call 601-4842 for more information. Powered by the Bryce Newbold Foundation.
It's game time! Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Welcome back. Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Let us get back into the budget discussion, right? So, Mr. Newry, I'm reading from a couple of articles I found in our local papers, The Guardian, The Tribune, and then even I think I may have a quote here from our news. First article, government outlines budget priorities. I think that's the 31st of May. Second article, PM, more revenue but no new taxes. Tribune, despite no new taxes, several new and adjusted fees announced. Another Tribune article, minister says PM will address NIB concerns next week. Another article, Newry, this one may interest you, constituency allowances, capital grants being raised. And then we move to today's Guardian and Tribune, and we see these two articles. Government eyes sugar tax. Government eyes sugar tax. And Pintar, Davis misled Parliament when he said no new taxes. That's the Guardian. Government eyes sugar tax, and Pintar, Davis misled Parliament when he said no new taxes. So just for a moment, let's sit right there, Mr. Newry. Do you know the difference between a tax and a fee?
I assume taxes for everybody and fee is for those who subscribe to a particular function.
Yeah. So
that makes sense?
Oh. I mean, like technically there is a nuanced difference, right? A tax basically is applied across the board and fees are for specific services.
And then one is only a rate and one is
all the same thing.
Yeah?
They're all the same thing.
But don't fluctuate and say 2% could be 2% of your total, whereas a fee is $2.50, and that doesn't fluctuate on a total.
Yeah, that's a slight difference.
Okay,
they're all the same thing. Hmm. What I want to know is how did you feel when the Prime Minister said no new taxes?
I smiled. I appreciate that was for us, so he cannot be criticized. But my cost of living is high, man. Mm-hmm. My pocket is pinched. It's stretched. I saw those persons who got that raise for minimum wage and saying that they still poor. They still hurting. They still living below the poverty line, right? And that a vast majority of people or vast number of Bahamians are living below the poverty line at that $200.50. They are living poor or working poor. And I'm concerned about them. What do you tell people who's living below a workable wage that you just can't survive and pay your bills on?
You tell them why you didn't do better in school so you could be a parliamentarian. And see, because parliamentarians can legitimately claim that they're not getting paid enough to be able to do the job that they've signed up for and volunteered for with integrity and without being corrupt. Apparently, they're allowed to legitimately complain. But it appears as if people who are living below the poverty line are told you should have done better in school.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a troubling one for me.
And even troubling that the union is comfortable with not making any noise. They say, well, we're just grateful that the government increased it. But these people are still below the poverty line. How do you just be quiet? knowing that Bahamians are suffering.
Right. And I have this new app, the exempt app, right? I want to get someone from customs to come in and talk to us about it. But I'm concerned about it, right? Why do I have to pay a fee? Because there must be a fee associated with the app.
No, man, that's free. You download it. That got to be free. You go to Google, I think, and download that.
Right, but when I pay my customs duty, when I pay my duty, my bill, that was tabulated on the app,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a fee associated and included in, right? There's something will be, I can be paying for that somehow. And what I want to know is...
I had assumed that it tabulates it, and then I take my money directly to the custom booth. Now I'm saying, will we be using one of the... The vendors. What do you call those people? Vendors, the money vendors.
The financial service providers.
Yes, because I know they definitely charge a fee, so I'll be paying twice. I'll be paying. I mean, I'm not sure what it's going to be. Will I be paying the rate then plus the use of the app, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
or will I be given a chance? I go directly to the customs booth and pay my money there.
Mm-hmm. And why? And the question I asked earlier, like, I feel a way about this, right? Why do I have to pay the same taxes and fees as foreigners to leave and enter my own country? Right? Why am I paying the same as others? And in some instances, for other services. And in one of these articles, the government is going to add a fee for cruise ship passengers. Cruise ship passengers are going to now... pay an environmental levy, right? They're going to pay an environmental levy of a certain amount of money. Virtually all people leaving the Bahamas by sea are not Bahamians. Is this discriminatory in effect? I'm going to find the exact article. I really want to read that quote, Mr. Newry, from that article. But these are some of the things that trouble me. And is it discriminatory to have different fees at different ports? Like there's a different departure, like there's a different fee for ports in Bimini than ports in New Providence. And I want to know, is there any agency, is there any civil society organization or body that sits down, reads through the budget, produces a list of questions and concerns and sit down and say, oh, you know what, this issue is actually or should be of great interest to the taxi union or to the Association of Independent Schools, right? To the local produce vendors association. And we should write up an assessment, right? Or write up a brief and invite them to interrogate it.
Well, you know, financial services does that. They tend to be trailblazers and, in fact, give the best practices to the government. Say, these is what's trending inside the world right now, what we should adopt as a country.
Yeah.
You see, financial services does that. Even also, the persons, what do you call it, people who sell, the real estate agency, mm-hmm. they tend to be trailblazers also, where they present to the government best practices and then the government tends to follow their lead and say, okay, we plan to implement this for the sake of the country, right? But in terms of other niche markets within the Bahamas,
special interest groups. Yeah.
I can't say that there exists any, and that they're lobbying the government and they're presenting new proposals and policies that
at the very least not even necessarily engaging with government except for, you know, points of clarity, but assessing the budget, assessing policy, assessing white papers and green papers, and creating briefs for sectors, special interest groups.
But we do have the Construction Association that does that, right?
Yeah.
And then I think that's Myers who control that group.
Organization for Responsible Government.
I assume that entity, right? And I see that the government has been engaging them back and forth with their ideas and concept on how the Bahamas should look. I see the recent commentary by, just throwing this in, forgive me for this, by the minister responsible for local government. And his utterance today in the newspaper, which basically said, there will be no local government for New Providence. right? There will be no local government for New Providence, no time soon, because they're too busy fixing it inside the family island. And I think that needs to resonate in the Bohemian people's minds and psyche, that the minister basically said they'll be infuriated for
again. I was having a conversation with somebody on Saturday, and I just hope that they're listening to this, that I could reiterate to them that it ain't working. Mm. It ain't working. That's just a little
people
private
thing. People should be concerned, right? Because everything stops. Pause. That we even entertaining no, take, no talk.
Right. And
right now.
That's one thing. It's the tone with which you tell me that. Listen, because you come into me baring your teeth. Listen, I'm failing at my job. And I'm tired of you asking me to do it.
But they said they're fixing the family island. They said the family island broken. That needs to be fixed. But they just don't have the talent nor time to do two things at once. All of their resources, all their skills, all their expertise can only go and fix the family island at this present time. And New Providence, in the meantime, has to suffer. I have a problem with it. And I believe that the Organization for Responsible Government is supposed to push back.
Mm-hmm.
If they make any, especially if they want Bohemians to support them. After hearing such a statement, they need to say, well, we hear you. However, however, it doesn't make sense. If you need help, we willing to come and fill in the gap because you don't have the skills. We will provide the expertise that you can do it at the same time, and that's not happening.
Right. Here's an article I wanted to read the excerpt from. Despite no new taxes, several new and adjusted fees announced as from the 1st of June in the Nassau Tribune. We start here in the article. A passenger tax amendment bill was tabled to adjust passenger levies. As a result, people leaving the Bahamas, quote, other than by sea, quote, close quote, would have to pay a fee of $28, up from $15. Cruise ship passengers leaving from the harbor of Nassau, Freeport, or Bimini would have to pay a $23 fee, up from $10. Why are cruise ship passengers paying less? Why are they paying less? Let me tell you why I asked that question. That's the point I was making with the question earlier. Mm-hmm. Virtually no Bahamians leave the Bahamas by cruise ship. Virtually no Bahamians leave the Bahamas by cruise ship. Why are cruise ship passengers paying less than airport passengers? The article goes on. Additionally, every cruise ship passenger arriving or leaving the country would have to pay a tourism environmental levy of $5. There's also a tourism enhancement levy of $2 for every passenger arriving or leaving the country. According to the bill, the funds would be deposited to the Tourism Development Fund, which has not yet been established. So this Tourism Development Fund, and then you create an immigration fund.
I'm just seeing a lot of money is being diverted away from the consolidated fund. All of these fees would have gone into the consolidated fund to pay our bill.
You pronounced Bahamian people so weirdly just now.
And
it sounded like you said consolidated fund.
Yeah, but nobody's questioned. I mean, I understand that the government has proposed that these new funds will have to be funded, right? Populated with monies, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I am concerned that these monies are being moved. That they're being gutted, the consolidated fund is being gutted as money being diverted to these other places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And especially, I don't know the checks and balances, because I know checks and balances with the consolidated fund because it goes to the budget. But when it goes to these special funds, who checks and balances those? Who can say that, no, this can't be spent on that, right?
Yeah.
But again, we have smart people whose job it is to ask these questions, and not necessarily social commentators. Not necessarily.
I'm worried about that. I'm worried about
talk show hosts.
I'm worried about the people whose job it is to communicate the answers to the Bahamian people.
Hmm.
Answering the question don't mean anything if you don't actually tell the Bahamian people what the answer is.
Are Bahamian people interested? You may be interested as a sole individual person, but there is no outcry. Right? There's nobody pointing these points out to say, hey, I'm a little uneasy with this. Can you explain this to me? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Are Bahamians concerned about their money? People have budgets all the time.
I think they are concerned about their money. I don't think they're concerned about other people's money. And I think they missed the point that if you can't concern yourself about other your other fellow citizens' money, then ain't nobody concerned about yours neither, right? I want to just read some of the new fees and mechanisms that we'll see popping up. The Davis administration also taped
new fees but no new taxes.
Yeah. Is that me?
They're playing with us.
Yeah. Yes, they are. Yet they won't establish a parking league for Bahama Games. A bill yesterday to amend the Immigration Act. The bill would empower the minister to impose a levy on work permit fees that may be used for the purpose of immigration enforcement, national health and wellness promotion programs. The whole thing makes me uneasy. Why are you imposing a levy on a fee?
Because they could.
Don't you already charge VAT on that fee?
Yes.
Why would you put another tax on that fee?
It's not a tax. It's a fee.
Particularly when you know in this particular realm, those fees are often passed on to the employee when it's expected that the employer covers those fees. Anyway, a public finance management, parentheses, immigration levy, parentheses, special fund bill was tabled to establish a fund to deposit revenue from immigration levies.
Those special funds again.
The financial secretary would be the fund administration. Now, I don't know if that article, if that word is supposed to be administrator versus administration. Because in the law, those words have very different meanings. Mm. And it's very important to know what they are. And then finally in the article, the administration tabled a road traffic amendment bill to, quote, enable a fee greater than $1 per page to be charged to a person for the purpose of obtaining a motor vehicle license history record, close quotes. I thought you would have had a road traffic amendment bill to make it mandatory that all police officers enforce traffic controls like their own act says. Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm. Anyway, I am disappointed in a number of things. Of course, I'm disappointed in the preparation for the...
When you say you're disappointed, you have to highlight what is it that you're disappointed in. So listen, audience, say, okay, I see it. I agree or disagree. Are you disappointed in the whole budget? Or are you disappointed at segments in the budget?
I'm disappointed in what I've seen so far from the budget. Those items that the media would have pulled, extracted from the budget, I'm disappointed in that. I'm disappointed in the government's approach to the budget communications. This particular government's approach to the budget communication and those that would have campaigned to put this government in power, they could not think that this is the performance that they sold to us. They could not think that.
But the government is living based and thriving based on their plan. Blueprint. Their blueprint. So all of these mechanisms that and these taxes is in the aspects of pursuing their and fulfilling their blueprint.
Man, listen, last week the Prime Minister said no new taxes. And this morning in front of the Guardian,
top
fold, Michael Darvill, the Honorable Doctor, says government eyes sugar tax, measure intended to force behavioral choices. Somebody playing with my feelings.
You don't be someone that's talking out of the head, and you have to just choose which one is talking out of the head.
Yeah, I mean, we've already, even Pintard put his choice in the hat. Anyway, that's the music. I'd like to thank those who were playing along the Sand Dollar giveaway. Every day we're giving a chance for two people to win 30 sand dollars. To the people calling in to play the game, listen, y'all waking my producer hard. Four things we're asking for: your name, your wallet, your cell phone number attached to your wallet, the wallet provider, and the wallet address. Have them ready if you want to play the game. Got them, keep it moving very, very quickly. Same time, I want to thank you for playing along. Miss Nuri, thank you for joining me. I'm going to pick this up again tomorrow. A debt for nature swap.
I need to know what that means.
I know what it means because I didn't create any of the debt. I know who created it, though. I know who created it. It wasn't me.
I'm just concerned that we are giving our carbon credits to people who are abusing the environment.
I mean, that's a given. But further to that, I'm afraid that we're going to be giving more than just carbon credits away. You've been tuned into On the Clock with Aaron Green. Stay tuned to 96.9 FM. Cecil Newry and Guardian Radio AM is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.